Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you, David and Richard and our music group for leading us this morning in our opening worship together. We're going to be continuing this morning our look at the book of Jonah. We began this a few weeks ago, didn't we, with Jonah running away from God. God had called Jonah to take a message to the great city of Nineveh, calling them to turn from evil and to instead turn towards God. But Jonah ran away in the opposite direction. He caught a boat to Tarshish, and then the storm came and interrupted Jonah's running away. As part of the home group notes, I suggested that folk might want to get a little bit creative in trying to picture and to capture this story. And out of that, look at this lovely painting that Terry produced as part of the group that he's part of. What a wonderful picture. It just captures it, doesn't it? That turmoil, the boat in the storm. And that sense of complete confusion and not knowing which direction he was heading. So thank you, Terry, for painting that. That's a lovely picture. Bless you. Thank you. Jonah was thrown into the water, facing certain death, until, of course, God sent that great fish to rescue Jonah. And then we heard, didn't we, that just a couple of weeks ago, from inside the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed. Jonah called out to his God. And there, as we thought about that prayer, we had that image of seaweed being wrapped around Jonah's head. And these are some pictures from another one of our home groups. This is from the Melton home group that meets. This is Jennifer and Jackie and Carol demonstrating what it's like to have seaweed wrapped around your head. And the great thing about this is it was Judith who sent me these pictures, but she didn't send me a picture of herself. No, there were only three pictures, but not one of you with seaweed around your head. You've bought your actual seaweed here and now. Stand up so we can see it, Judith. There we go. There we go. Look at that seaweed wrapped around your head. Fantastic. That's lovely. But that was a great picture, wasn't it, of Jonah, of the way he was entangled and snared and just felt so cut off from God. And yet God, in his mercy, reached out to Jonah, because Jonah's story and God's story through Jonah and God's story through Jonah to the people of Nineveh was not yet finished. And then at the end of chapter 2, we heard that Jonah was thrown onto the dry land. He was actually vomited onto dry land, onto the sea. So that's where we're going to continue our story from this morning. We're going to be reading from Jonah chapter 3, and Angela Hunter is going to come and read Jonah chapter 3 for us. Thank you, Angela.
Jonah goes to Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. by the decree of the king and his nobles. Do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened.
Thank you, Angela. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your compassion. And today we pray that you would have compassion on us, that you would speak into our hearts and into our minds, and that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would help us, each one of us, turn towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who likes a trip to the seaside? Yeah, we like a trip to the seaside, don't we? Ice creams and fish and chips and laying on the beach and soaking up the sun. Excellent. Maybe you some of you have this as an ideal dream location, laying on a sandy beach or by the Mediterranean, the Mediterranean Sea, soaking up the sun. Maybe that's that's where you dream to be, even this morning. Well, Jonah found himself laying on the beach in the Mediterranean. No ice cream, though. No fish and chips. Just a light coating of whale vomit. Oh, dear. Yeah. That's where Jonah found himself. And he had been saved from certain death, and now his feet were back on dry land. He was alive, but the big question was, would God have any purpose for him? Would God have any use for his life? Had he missed the opportunity to serve God? Had he blown it? Would he just live out the rest of his life wondering what might have happened if he hadn't disobeyed God? But of course, Jonah doesn't have to wait too long to find out. There in verse 1, we read it. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now, I don't know about you, but I think those words in Scripture are incredible. The word of God, God all-powerful, God almighty, came to Jonah a second time. He was being given a second chance, another opportunity. R.T. Kendall, the Bible teacher and commentator, says this in his book on Jonah. He says, "We now come to the high watermark in the book of Jonah. We see what I believe is one of the sublimest phrases in all Scripture. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." He says, "I know of no passage that illustrates so perfectly and so tenderly and so clearly the way God deals with people." The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Ours is the God of the second chance. Ours is the God who, when we make a mess of things and we feel all washed out and we feel as though we've failed in every aspect, ours is the God who comes to us and gives us the second chance. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And so far in this book, we've seen just some of the extraordinary lengths that God goes to just so that the word can go to Jonah a second time. God could have let Jonah go. God could have left him on that ship heading for Spain. God could have left him in the sea, in the storm. God could have left him in the belly of the fish. God could have left him washed up on the sand in the beach. But he doesn't. He comes and offers a second chance. And you know, the wonderful news is this is what God does with us. You know, I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't need a second chance, because I certainly do. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who has never, ever got it wrong. Anyone who's never messed up. Anyone here who's never run away from the things that God wants for them. I guess we all have, haven't we? In our own ways, we've run in the opposite direction from what God wants. We've not done the things that God has asked us to do. Maybe this morning we need to hear that word. The word of the Lord comes a second time. You know, we see it so often through this Bible, don't we? Different people. Think of someone like Moses. A great leader, yet he killed a man. A great leader, yet he made all sorts of excuses why he couldn't do the thing that God asked him to do. And yet he led God's people out of captivity. God gave a second chance. Think of someone like David, a great hero of the Bible. We think of David against Goliath and how that turned out. And we think of David, that great king of Israel. But David was also an adulterer. David was also someone who had an innocent man killed. But even then, God gave him a second chance. Or even someone like the Apostle Peter. Peter, who denied even knowing Jesus when the going got tough. And yet Jesus called Peter the rock on whom he would build his church. A second chance. A third chance. Because that's our God. You know, sometimes people have that image of God as being a little bit like Simon Cowell. I don't know if you've ever thought of Simon Cowell and God in the same light. But those of you who've watched Britain's Got Talent or The X Factor, you'll know that if Simon Cowell doesn't like the act, then he pushes the buzzer, and they're out. They're off. That's it. No second chance. They're finished. Maybe some people have that image of God. Our God is not like that. Our God is merciful and gracious and compassionate. Our God is the God of the second chance. And you know, even today, if we know that in our lives we're walking away from God, God doesn't give up on us. God calls us to himself. And when we turn, we realize that he is compassionate and merciful and forgiving and gives us that second chance. And so, what is the message that God has for Jonah? The message is, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Go to it. Go to that great city. And of course, we need to remember that that great city of Nineveh was still a terrible place. A place filled with evil. A place filled with violence. A place filled with corruption. Nineveh was still the last place that Jonah wanted to go. But he knew that God was calling him to go there. And so, Jonah makes that journey. 500 miles across land from the coast to where Nineveh was. 500 miles. You don't do that overnight, do you, when you're walking on foot? Probably a month it took him to journey from where he ended up on the beach to that great city of Nineveh. Lots of time to think. What was he going to say? What was his reception going to be? Surely the people of Nineveh would just cart him off to the nearest dungeon and have him executed, or even worse, having him tortured in one of the many methods of torture that they had developed for their prisoners. What was God going to do? Of course, the simple truth of this is that Jonah was being obedient. Verse 3 said, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Yes, he was still afraid. Yes, he didn't know what the reception was going to be. He didn't know what his fate would be, but he obeyed the Lord. He was obedient to God's calling. And you know, that's an important thing for us, isn't it? To sometimes ask ourselves the question, am I being obedient to God's calling? Am I in the place where he wants me to be? Am I doing the things that God wants me to do? You know, often we pray that prayer, don't we? In the Lord's Prayer, we say, thy will be done. Thy will be done. We pray it easily. Are we ready to listen? Are we ready to listen to the answer to that prayer? Jonah obeyed and went to the place where God called him. And he spoke the words that God called him to speak. And we know how Jonah was received, because in chapter 3, verse 5, it says the Ninevites believed God. These evil Ninevites, these cruel Ninevites, they believed God. Now, when I read something like that, as a preacher, I think, well, I think it might be worth analysing Jonah's sermon then. If Jonah went there and the Ninevites believed, it's worth finding out what he said. What did he preach about? What was his message that day? What was it that got people to respond and believe? Well, the incredible thing is that Jonah's sermon was probably the shortest sermon ever recorded in Scripture. And some of you might be thinking that might not be a bad thing. Just 8 words. 8 words in his sermon. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. No clever PowerPoint displays. No 3 points, each with a subcategory. Jonah just brought the message that God gave him. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Just 8 words. And even better than that, in the original Hebrew, it's just 5 words. 5-word sermons. Even better than that, it doesn't even mention God, does it? An 8-word sermon that doesn't mention God, and the Ninevites believed. Wow. You know, I guess that just reminds us of an important truth, doesn't it, really? That it's not about the preacher. It's never about us. It's about God at work in us and through us. You know, we don't make Christians. We don't make followers of Jesus. We can't do that. It's only God who can work in people's lives and bring them to himself. We are simply called to be those obedient carriers of the message. Whatever that message is that God gives us, and we're not called to change it or transform it, we're not even called to make it a message that is more palatable to the world around us. We're called simply to carry the message that God has entrusted to us. God's word brings about change. It's God who convicts, God who challenges, and God who calls people to return, to turn and repent. God's, whether we use 8 words or 800 words or 8,000 words, it's only if we're obedient to allow God to bring his message to us that people's lives are changed. And you know, I think maybe that should be an encouragement to us. Because maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, actually, I never know what to say to people when I have that opportunity. I never know really how much to say or what to leave out. And the thing is, the important thing is to be obedient and make yourself available. And allow God to speak in you and speak through you. Yes, it might just be 5 words or 8 words that you're called to say. But if you're obedient in following God's call, then God will work through you and in you. A lovely passage from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 55. And it says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's words do not return empty, and God wants to speak his word through you and in you, wherever he calls you. And so let's be available to God and for God and be surprised at how he was used. Jonah was certainly surprised how God used him. The response was amazing. As it said, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. What an amazing response. All of them believed. From the greatest to the least, from the most important official to the humblest servant. And they responded to that call. What did they do? They put on sackcloth, a sign in the Bible of being repentant, of coming before God. This was a message for everyone. And when the message reached the ears of the king, this great mighty warrior king, what did he do? It says he rose from his throne and took off his royal robes and put on sackcloth and sat in the dust. Imagine that. The leader of the mightiest army of the day, sitting wrapped in sackcloth, sitting in the dust. Such is the power of God's word. And the people, it wasn't just words from them, there were actions as well. They fasted together. Even the animals were called to fast. Not sure what the animals thought about that one, but the animals were called to fast as well. I said, let the people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone urgently call on God. Let them give up their evil ways and violence. We're called to turn away. Turn away from their evil. Turn away from their life of rejecting God and instead turn towards God. And the cry of the king is, who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Who knows? Well, we know, don't we? We know that this is the God of all compassion. And we know that God longs for people to return to him. We know that God goes out of his way to reach people. We know that God does not give up on us. Our God is the one who gives us the second and the third and the fourth chance to respond to his word. Our God has compassion. You know, sometimes I think we get a bit confused about that word anger in the Bible, of God's anger. Sometimes I think we can easily fall into the trap of thinking that God is sitting there waiting to punish us, waiting to catch us out, just waiting for that opportunity to punish us for all the wrong things that we've done in our lives. I'm not sure that that paints a true picture of God. But instead of thinking of God's anger, think of it as God's anguish. God's anguish when we are separated from Him. God's anguish when we choose to live a life that pulls us away from Him. And God knows that as the more and more that we head away from Him, the more and more we're heading for destruction and pain and hurt in our lives. God knows that. God never ever stops calling us back to Himself. Can you imagine the anguish in God's heart as His children just walk into destruction and to turmoil and to pain and to problems? But God, because of that anguish, because of that anger of where we might find ourselves, He has compassion. He has love. And He keeps on calling us back to Himself. God reaches out with compassion. God may yet relent and turn from His fierce anger so that we might not perish. God provides a way. God provided a way for Jonah. God provided a way for the Ninevites. And God provides a way for us. In fact, Jesus Himself used this as an example when talking about the way of salvation for us. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, we read this. It says, "Some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Jesus, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' Jesus answered, 'A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign. None will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, in the grave. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here." Jesus was saying, look at Jonah's story. How God brought the message of salvation through Jonah. An opportunity for the people of Nineveh to repent. And now Jesus is saying here, now look at me. Look at who I am. Look at what I've done for you. Look at what I will do for you. And what will be your response to that? Will you reject me? Will you accept me? Will you turn away from the things of God, or will you accept the things of God? Because you see, God in His compassion gives us Jesus. And all the consequences of the wrong things in our lives, Jesus takes them upon Himself, taking them to the cross and offering us a new start and a new way, and a new life. And for the Ninevites, they discover the God of second chances, the God of new beginnings. It says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He relented and did not bring on them the destruction He had threatened. Reminded of the words in Psalm 103, it says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love." That's our God. That's Jonah's God. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love.
And there, we might think, would be a lovely place to end the book of Jonah. The Ninevites have repented and turned to God, and Jonah has discovered his purpose in bringing God's word to them. But that's not the ending. We have another chapter to go. We would love to say at this point that everyone lived happily ever after. But there is chapter 4. And next week, Sue's going to be helping us to think about chapter 4. Thinking about how God's mercy and how God's compassion is something that Jonah really struggled to accept. Why should those Ninevites be forgiven? Look at what they've done. And how Jonah wrestled with that. You've got to come back next week to hear about that, though. But today, let's remember our God who gives us the second chance. Let's remember our God whose word remains the same. Our God who wants to work in your life and my life. To bring his word to the world. Our God who is loving and compassionate. And to close our thoughts this morning, I'm going to invite Chris. As part of that being creative reflection that we did in our home groups about from Jonah, Chris has put together some words of a poem. That he's going to come and read to us now, and then we'll pray together. Thank you, Chris.
This is what I've called the reach of God's love. From the pit of the lions to the belly of a whale, it defies understanding the love that remains. After all is forgiven, from mistakes that were made, walking the fires, defying the flames. Deep as the ocean, from the murky depths, surpassing devotion, God's promises kept. To all his creation, wonders he bestows. Now and forever, let everyone know.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Okay. Let's pray together. From the pit of the lions to the belly of a whale, it defies understanding the love that remains. Loving God, we thank you. We thank you that you are the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances, that you never ever stop calling us back to yourself. Loving God, we thank you that your word remains the same. Your message of compassion, your message of mercy, your message of forgiveness. Lord, please forgive us when we choose to walk another way. We choose to turn our backs on you and instead live lives that are not what you want for us. Forgive us, Lord, when we make you out to be a God of anger, a God of condemnation. Instead, Lord, imprint on us your message of love. And forgiveness and hope and compassion. Lord, that to bring that message to the world cost you everything in Jesus. And yet it's a gift that's freely given and offered to us. So help us, Lord, to hear your word to us and then to respond to it. And as Chris wrote in that poem, to all creation wonders he bestows, now and forever, let everyone know. Lord, may we go from this place this morning, just like Jonah did, carrying the message of your love and your forgiveness. Lord, help us to do that in the places that you call us to and you lead us to in this coming week, knowing that we are forgiven, we are redeemed because of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.